If you have your Bibles, can you open them to the book of Jonah? I have been given the task by Pastor Rob to do all four chapters today. Why, he did two on Sunday. But it's a blessing. There's going to be a lot of spiritual nuggets that we're going to, grab, and we're going to take them home and put them into practice and allow God's word to nurture our heart and to change our hearts, because that's what God does. He restores lives and he changes lives and he does miracles in people's lives. That's why Ed was saying, we need a miracle. Who needs a miracle today? We all need a miracle today, and you're here today, not because, you just felt like coming to church or because, you had nothing to do. No, you're here by divine appointment. You're here by divine appointment. And, church, we serve, an awesome church. And I'm going to let you know a little bit. I'm going to give you my testimony in a nutshell before we get into the word, because, our church is, we have a lot of new people, and, not many people know who I am. We're always doing Spanish services on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings, and the Lord is doing an amazing work there in our Spanish ministry. Well, I came here in 2001, and the way I came here, it's not, many people come the way I came here, but for me, it was kind of unique. I came here in 2001, on March 4th, 2001. I remember the day. It was on a Sunday. A Sunday is actually my wife's birthday. That's her birthday on that day. But anyways, I came here 2001, March the 4th, and when I came here, I was 2 days straight out of a federal prison. Now, you're probably wondering, what do you mean a federal prison? I was received here with open arms. My family has been attending here since Brian Brodesson days. And, my mom was involved in the Spanish ministry. My sister was involved in the Spanish ministry. My mother prayed for my brothers and I for over 20 years in the Spanish ministry that I so proudly pastor now. Prayer works. But, when I got here, I was received with open arms. 2 days out of prison, I was received with open arms. I got involved. I mean, I just had a desire to serve the Lord. I'd gotten saved in February 5th, 1999, inside a federal prison. I was involved, before BC days, even the first 5 years of my incarceration. I did my last incarceration, the last time I got incarcerated, I did 7 years, almost 7 years, 2 years in the state prison. And then from there, they sent me to a federal prison for lots of bad stuff. I don't have time to tell you what it is, but, I got here and I just had a desire to serve God. I knew I wanted to change my life. And, so I got here and I began to get involved in everything I could. I began to get involved in the men's ministry, which we're meeting on Thursday nights at that time. Pastor Steve Henshaw gave me the first opportunity to share my testimony with the guys on one of those meetings. I got involved in the drug and alcohol ministry, which I served under Pastor Howard for about 5 years. I just really got involved in ushering. I got involved in everything I could because I knew that I needed to change my life and I needed to change the way I thought and the way I acted, everything. And so I got involved in. And then I eventually got involved in our schooling ministry here. I thought I was going to do everything in English. I'm telling you, I thought I was going to do everything in English. I served in the English for many, many years. I started attending our schooling ministry here with Charlie Campbell when he was here. And then I started attending our shepherd's class with Pastor Rob. And then in 2008, the good Lord gave me a beautiful wife. You see, my wife and I come from two different worlds. She was totally on the opposite side of the spectrum. You know, and but you know, she was heavenly sent. She was God sent. In 2008, we got married, and then while I was attending our shepherd's class with Pastor Rob. Pastor Rob asked us if we wanted to pastor our Spanish ministry. And like I said, I was doing everything in English. I was getting involved in the English side. And, you know, so we began to pray. We prayed for a couple of months. And the Lord finally said, you know, with agreement with my wife, we just said, you know what, Pastor Rob, we'll do it. And we started off with two people in 2008. Right now, you know, the Lord is doing an amazing work in our Spanish ministry. You know, the good Lord has brought so many good people right beside me. I mean, you know, from the worship to our, you know, we have a school of ministry as well in Spanish. And the students that we have in the school of ministry are amazing. The people that the Lord is bringing by my side, I mean, these guys and these gals, they lift up my arms because, you know, I can't do it without them. And I am so grateful that the Lord is bringing these people besides me, and the Lord is doing an amazing work in our Spanish mission. We started off with two people on a good given Sunday. We'll try to cram like 60, 70 people in the terrace room. But the Lord is doing an amazing work there. You know, so you know the you know I got here in 2001. It's 2016. You know. And the rest is history, as you see, an ex-convict, an ex-gang member, an ex-drug addict, standing here before you as a pastor. And that's all for the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who can save people. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you, Lord Jesus. We just come before you tonight. And Lord, we thank you for just your grace, your mercy, your love, Lord, that you have bestowed on each and every one of us, Lord. You love people. You love people. That's your heart, Lord. And you desire for people to change. And you desire people to get saved. And Lord, we pray that you do a work tonight here, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, you use your servant here, Lord. As I speak, Lord, that the words that I speak, that they come from you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you move me out of the way, Lord, and that your spirit just takes control over my mouth, my thoughts, my actions, so that you, Lord, may be glorified in all that we do, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and everyone says, amen. Well, today, like I said, we're going to look at all four chapters of the book of Jonah. Now, Pastor Rob shared on some major points this past Sunday, and we're going to revisit some of them, you know, but for the sake of time, we're not going to spend too much time in a lot of these, but we're going to shoot through all these things, through all these four chapters. Now, in these four chapters, we're going to consider four things in these chapters. In chapter one, we're going to consider how Jonah ran from God. Now, we're going to try to apply these things in our own personal life and how we run from God on different levels in our lives. In chapter two, Jonah is crying out to God. In chapter three, people matter to God, as Pastor Rob shared on Sunday. And then in chapter four, our attitude towards the lost. Our attitudes towards the lost. Now, can you please go to chapter one? And we'll read all these verses in Spanish. Not really. Verse 1. So now the word of the Lord came to Jonah and the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. Underline that because we're going to return to that. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" Verse 9. So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, that the sea will become, then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish from this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Psalm 139, verse 7 says this: "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your what? Your presence." I know a lot of people today that are running from God in one shape or one form or another. Whether it's a calling in ministry, whether it's just sharing the gospel to somebody else, whether it's getting involved in something that God is calling them to do, whether it's accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or just plain obedience as Christians. We all know somebody, maybe you are struggling with that. Maybe you are running from the Lord in some shape or another. Verse 1 and 2, we see that Jonah is called by the Lord, and he says, "Arise and go." And Jonah's calling was to go to the Ninevites and share a godly message of repentance to these people. But we see in verse 3 that Jonah does quite the opposite. He runs the other way. He attempts to flee from the presence of the Lord. You know, and we do that a lot. We attempt to run from God. You know, whether it's a calling, whether it's ministry, whether it's just sharing the gospel, or maybe it's just plain obedience, like I said. Because we know deep in our hearts that the Lord is touching and tugging on our hearts that what we're doing is not right, or that what he's calling us to do, you know, people's souls are at hand, and we refuse to obey. Pastor Rob touched on this past Sunday. He said that the book of Jonah is about reminding us about what really matters. See, the people in Nineveh matter to God. And we're going to see in the next couple of chapters that Jonah didn't want to see these people saved. That's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. And what we will see in this book is that, like Pastor Rob mentioned, people matter to the Lord. You see, Nineveh was a great city in its day. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Now, 2 Kings tells us that the 10 northern tribes were taken by the Assyrian Empire. You can read this on your own time, but 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 5 through 6, or the first part of verse 6, says this. I'm going to leave it to you from the New Living Translation. It says, "Then the king of Assyria invaded the entire land, and for 3 years he besieged the city of Samaria. Finally, in the 9th year of King Hoshea's reign, Samaria fell, and the people of Israel were exiled to Assyria." You see, Samaria was the capital of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. If you remember in the book of Kings, the 12 tribes were divided. 2 tribes went to the south, 10 tribes went to the north. These 10 tribes in the north were taken captive by the Assyrian Empire. Later on, a couple of years later on, the two remaining tribes in the south were taken to Babylon by the Babylonian Empire. But the Assyrians, like Pastor Rob shared this weekend, they were very cruel. They showed no mercy. When they took in their inhabitants or when they conquered a land, you know, they took people captive. They would put large hooks on their cheeks or on the roof of their mouths and take them captive to Assyria. And the people who could not make it, well, they were left for dead in the middle of the desert. In Nahum, we get an idea in the prophet Nahum, which Pastor Rob Nash will be teaching next Wednesday. We get a picture of what kind of people the Assyrians and the Ninevites were. In Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says this: "What sorrow awaits Nineveh, the city of murders and lies? She is crammed with wealth and is never without victims. Hear the crack of whips, the rumble of wheels, horses' hoofs pound, and chariots clatter widely. See the flashing swords and the glittering spears as the charioteers charge past. There are countless casualties, heaps of bodies, so many bodies that people stumble over them." This was the kind of people that the Assyrians were. They were cruel. And Jonah was called by the Lord to go and share a message of repentance to these people. Now, how many of you have ever thought that, or even know somebody that you might be thinking, you know what, there is no hope for this guy? Don't we know somebody? I mean, you know what? People thought that about me. People thought that about you. Is God's hand really that short to reach out to somebody and save them? Of course not. Of course not. Jonah was called by the Lord to go and share a message of repentance to these people. And Jonah decided to go to the other direction. Now keep in mind, when the Lord has his eye on you, you ain't going to escape. You are not going to escape. You know, like I said, my mother prayed for my brothers and I for 20 years in the church that I now pastor here in our Spanish ministry. 20 years. Before she went home to be with the Lord, she had the opportunity to see me, to see her son, that she prayed for so many years up in the pulpit, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's hand is not too short to reach people. And God had his eye on the people of Nineveh. And he wanted to use his servant, Jonah. He wanted Jonah to participate in this great and awesome work that the Lord wanted to do with the people of Nineveh. My friends, the Lord wants to use you and he wants to use me to participate in the great things that he's doing in this world. Even though the world looks the way it looks and all these things are happening around the world, you got to remember that the Lord is still in control. The Lord is still on his throne. And you know what? He wins. He wins in the end. He wins. Jonah failed to see that people mattered to God. Jonah failed to see that the people of Nineveh mattered to God. He did not want to see these people saved, so he ran the other direction. He wanted to see totally the opposite. He wanted to see them perish. He wanted to see them perish. So Jonah flees from the Lord, and verse 3 tells us that he gets on a ship that was going to Tarshish. Verse 4 tells us that the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, that the ship itself was about to be broken up. In verse 5 tells us that the mariners were afraid and each began to call on his God. Verse 5 also tells us that the sailors began to lighten up the load. They began to throw stuff off of the ship. They just began to throw things out of the ship. And verse 6 tells us that the captain came to Jonah, who was asleep, came to him and told him, call upon your God. You see, church, Jonah's disobedience wasn't only affecting him. Jonah's disobedience was affecting those around him as well. I know you know where I'm going with this. Jonah's disobedience was affecting those on the ship. And Jonah sleeping, listen to this, Jonah sleeping is a picture of that sleeping Christian who was doing absolutely nothing. What do I mean? I got a couple of things that I want to see, and I have them up on some slides. Jonah slept in a place where he hoped no one would see him or disturb him. Sleeping Christians like to hide out among the church. Jonah slept in a place where he could not help with the work that needed to be done. Sleeping Christians stay away from the work of the Lord. Jonah slept while there was prayer meeting up on the deck. Sleeping Christians do not like to attend prayer meetings. Jonah slept and had no idea of the problems around him. Sleeping Christians don't know what is really going on around them. And Jonah slept when he was in great danger. Sleeping Christians are in danger but don't know it. Finally, Jonah slept while the heathen needed him. Sleeping Christians snooze while the world needs their message and testimony. You see, God didn't call you and me to salvation to just come to church on Wednesdays and just come to church on Sundays. God wants you and me to get involved, to get in the trenches, and to win souls for Christ. Because the Bible says that when the time of the Gentiles is done, the Lord is going to rapture his church out of here. And maybe the Lord is waiting for you to reach out to that person that he's been tugging in your heart for such a long time to reach out and get him saved. Maybe, please, maybe, if that's you, please do it so we can get out of here. My question to you today is, are you running from God? Are you sleeping like Jonah? Is God calling you to do something and you know from the bottom of your heart, whether it's to change your lifestyle or whether it's to wake up and share the gospel, get involved, participate in what God is doing so God can use you and he can use me? Like I had mentioned before, you see, disobedience, running from God or disobedience not only affects me or you on a personal level, but it affects those around us as well. Sometimes we might not see the result right away, but the longer we run from God, and I'm telling you this from my own personal experience, the longer we run from God, the harder the impact will be when we suffer the consequences from running from God. Jonah just could have just obeyed God, went to go share the gospel or the message to the Ninevites. Well, they would have repented because God already had a plan that they were going to repent. They would have repented and it would have been all said and done. But you know what? Jonah still needed some work in his own heart as well. The way Jonah felt about the Ninevites, the way he felt about these certain people, well, that tarnished his thought about how God thought about those in Nineveh. See, God wasn't looking at their color or their race or what kind of people they were. No, he was looking at their souls. That's what matters to the Lord, the souls. Verse 7 tells us that they cast out lots and for whose reason this was, or this great storm, and they found out it was Jonah. Verse 12, Jonah agrees to be thrown overboard, and they throw him overboard. Look at chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows, all your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The water surrounded me even to my soul, the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the mooring of the mountains, and the earth and its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. I have a T and a P next to this verse because it's tested and proven in my own life. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So the second thing we want to consider here is Jonah is crying out to God in the midst of the big fish or the whale. Before we want to go on, I want to touch on something that Pastor Rob had touched this past Sunday. You know, there are skeptics that say that this wasn't a whale or it wasn't a big fish that the Lord had prepared for Jonah. And I totally agree with Pastor Rob and what he said on Sunday. Jesus spoke of it as an historical fact. So if Jesus spoke of it as an historical fact, then we must believe that is a fact. Amen? Amen. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 through 41. It says, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with the generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So if Jesus believed it, church, then we must believe it. Amen? But you know, in this chapter, we find Jonah in the belly of the great fish or in a whale. And he finds himself he just finds himself in the midst of a place where he doesn't want to be. And what does he begin to do? I think he does the right thing. He begins to pray. He begins to seek God. Now, let me tell you, when I got in a lot of trouble, when it was, you know, when I saw those Christmas lights under a river mirror in July, you know, I'm talking about the cop lights. I saw it many times, and I remember always praying to the Lord, always saying, Lord, please don't let them take me to jail. I'm going to change my life. This is it. I'm done. You know, please, Lord, please, please, please. It wasn't genuine. So I went to jail anyways. But this story of Jonah, this book of Jonah, is one of my favorite books that I like to teach when I go to the jails. I go to the jails on Fridays. And I go and I share the gospel and I share the good news to guys and gals in the jails. And I tell them this story because, you know what? I tell them, you know what? You're in the middle of, you're in the belly of your fish right now. God has you here for a reason. Just like God wanted to preserve Jonah, I tell them God wants to preserve you. And you're here in this Bible study today. This is what I tell them. You're here in this Bible study today. Even though you're in jail and you're in the midst of your situation, you're here because God wants you here and God wants you to hear this story. You're in your belly of a fish right now. And just like God preserved Jonah through this whale, God is preserving them and maybe God is preserving you. Maybe you're in the middle of something right now. You know, and sometimes the Lord allows situations and circumstances and trials and tribulations and sicknesses in our lives that teach us something. Whether it's depending on Him, whether it's maturing in our faith, whether it's to come to Christ and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And I love to share this story with them. Because you know what? I understand where they're coming from. I felt many times the way they're feeling. You know, and the Lord put in my heart, you know, the Lord had put this in my heart a long time. He even gave me a vision. Even when I was saved in prison, He had given me a vision that I was going to go into the jails and I was going to share the gospel. It took me quite a while, but, you know, I just wasn't ready. And the Lord's timing, a couple years back, the Lord just put in my heart, you know what, just give it a shot. See if they'll accept you, you know, with your long record. And the Lord, you know, just, you know, they accepted me. And I go and share the gospel with these people because, you know what, I know how they're feeling. I've been where they're at. And they will. I mean, they'll listen to people come in and share the gospel. But they'll pay very close attention when they know that somebody's been through what they're feeling, going through right now. You see, when I came to the Lord, this is, you know, the Lord in the last... You know, the last time I got incarcerated, I was incarcerated for almost 7 years of my life. And I remember in 1995, it was in May of 1995, that I was at the end of myself. You know, I had lived a life. I mean, I just lived a lot of stuff. And now, you know, I went through relationships like crazy. And I remember one night, I know now that the Lord just filled me with His Holy Spirit. I mean, I remember that night I was just saying, Lord, you know, and I loved guns. They won't let me have one now, but. But I used to love guns, and I used to have a lot of guns in my room, and I used to just say, Lord, I'm tired of living this way. I knew in my heart that the way I was living was wrong. And I just told the Lord, I'm tired of living this way. If You don't do something with my life, I am. 2 days later, my house gets raided. I get arrested. And I spent almost 7 years incarcerated. That was my fish. Because for 5 years, I continued, you know, living my life the way I wanted to live inside. But finally, this guy that was doing life, he told me, he goes, you know what, Mike, you have an out date. You have the opportunity to get out of here and change your life. So he began to share the gospel. He just He just actually began to water the seed that my family had planted in me. And he began to share the gospel, and I began to go to church services on Tuesdays, and I was telling the homeboys I was going to a library to go read. They were telling me, read? What are you going to do? I just love to read, bro. Let me be, man. But I had, you know, my little Gideon Bible in my back pocket, and I would go to a church service. And then February 5th, 1999, the Lord used this pastor in Texas, kind of speaking kind of like this, you know, with a little twang in his speech. And he said, you know, there was about 100 of us in that room. And he said, you know what? 90% of you guys in here, when you guys get out, are going to return to prison. Those were the statistics. They're still the statistics. It's just a revolving door. And when you get out, you'll never, ever go to a church again. He goes, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you the truth. And I remember that I began to pray, and I began to ask the Lord, I want to be part of that 10%. And then February 5th, 1999, I got saved at 8 p.m. in a federal prison in Beaumont, Texas. And then I began to walk with the Lord. You see, with all those 7 years, you know, and then being labeled as a gang member, they would ship you around everywhere. They ship you around everywhere, especially in the federal system. They ship you around everywhere in Texas because they don't want a gang member getting settled in and then, just starting trouble somewhere. So they would move me. In the time that I was incarcerated, those 7 years, I was in 8 different prisons. And everywhere I went, the first thing that I did was I would always ask, hey, where are my homeboys from San Diego? Hey, where are my homeboys at? But when I got saved, I got transferred from Texas to Las Vegas, Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. And I didn't go look for the homeboys no more. I wanted to go look for the Christian brothers because I knew I needed to change. And for the last 2 years of my incarceration, I began to serve the Lord. I began to walk with the Lord. I mean, the Lord just began to use me inside. And when I got out March 4th, 2001, March 2nd, 2001, March 4th, Sunday, I got here and I never left. I've been here ever since. You know, I finally have come to realize that God had prepared that fish, those 7 years, for me to preserve me. In the eyes of the world, I shouldn't be in this position that I am today. But in God's eyes, I am exactly where I need to be. Amen? If you find yourself in your fish's belly today, do what Jonah does here and seek God and call on God. Look at chapter 3. So verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day, on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man or beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that we serve a God of many chances? Verse 1 tells us that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The Lord was not done. The Lord, like I said earlier, the Lord had his eyes on the people of Nineveh. But at the same time, the Lord needed a work. You know what? The Lord needed a work in the heart of Jonah himself. When God has his eye on you, when God has his eye on me, you know what? He is going to bring you full circle. Whether you run from him and disobey him and just walk away and just do your things, do things your own way, you know what? You're going to come full circle. You're just going to say, you know what? I should have listened to you the first time, Lord. God was not going to give up on the people of Nineveh. Even though he had a disobedient servant on whom God was still working on as well. You see, Jonah was a work in progress still. And you and I are also a work in progress. You know, we're not going to be perfected until we are in the presence of the Lord. It is a lifelong process. God's plan is going to be accomplished just like it was accomplished with the Ninevites and Jonah. I love this verse, Philippians 1, verses 3 and 6. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When God has his eye on you, you can't escape him. Oh, he'll let you do what you want to do. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force you to do nothing. He'll let you do what you want to do. But like I said, you'll come back full circle. And you'll say, man, I should have just listened to the Lord. That would have saved me a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. We serve of God of many chances. And today, maybe you are in a position where you need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me another chance. Give me another chance. Verse 5 tells us that the people of Nineveh believed God and Jonah's message. Verse 6 tells us that the king of Nineveh, humbled himself and published a decree of fasting throughout Nineveh. You see, listen, church, please listen. You see, when God touches lives, it doesn't only touch your life, but it touches the lives around those around you as well. When God saw the heart of the Ninevites, when he saw that they had repented and their repentance was genuine, verse 10 tells us that God relented from destroying the people of Nineveh. God is patient. God is loving. God is merciful. God is a God of many chances. And maybe you are in this position today where you need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me another chance. Give me another whack at life. That was my prayer. That was my prayer. Lord, give me another whack at life. Give me another opportunity to live life like you want me to live life. And I remember sitting in my bunk in my cells and just asking the Lord, Lord, give me another wife, because my first wife, she left me with good reason. But I just asked the Lord, Lord, give me another chance at life, please. And the Lord is so good and so faithful. You see, when God, when we fail him, he remains faithful. You see, repentance begins with believing. And the people of Nineveh believe Jonah and his message, verse 5 tells us. And when someone believes in God, they believe that apart from God, we are doomed. That's what believing in the Lord Jesus Christ means. Repentance also means doing something about your sin as well. Sin or your life, when God gets a hold of your life, or our lives begin to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, genuine repentance, does not mean that my life will continue the same. Your life, the way you're living is going to have evidence and show evidence that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? It changes because God wants to get a hold of you, and his desire is to change us and to make us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ, more and more every day. Romans tells us this. Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. You guys know this verse, but I want to focus on verse 29. It says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants to change you and change me and make us more into the image of Jesus Christ. Our genuine repentance, my friends, doesn't mean that life goes on as business as usual. No, there has to be a change. There has to be a transformation. And I want to ask you, are you desiring and striving to be more like Jesus? Are you allowing God to change your heart, to change your life, to prune those things that need to be pruned in our lives? You know, a little bit of pride, a little bit of anger. God does that when you allow him. He starts to chip all these things off. He begins to prune our lives, and he does that for one reason, to produce more spiritual fruit in you and me. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does it say? He prunes that it may bear more fruit. That's why God transforms us, and he begins to chip all these things away, because he wants us to produce, he wants to produce more fruit in us, spiritual fruit. Look at chapter 4. We'll close here. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out to the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come over Jonah that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. This is the only part in the Bible that we see Jonah grateful, because something was being done for him. Me, me, me. Verse 7, but as the morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, Is it right for me to be angry even to death? But the Lord said, You have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? So God, the Lord ends this chapter by asking Jonah, you know, you're angry because I destroyed a plant that you didn't create or labored or nothing. You had pity on this plant. And what he's telling them is, I have pity on the people of Nineveh. Why can't you see that, Jonah? You see, Jonah didn't want to see these people saved, like I had asked, like I had mentioned earlier. And Pastor Rob, I love what Pastor Rob pointed out on Sunday. He said Jonah wasn't afraid of the cruelty of the Assyrians. He was afraid of God's mercy. Jonah wanted to see these people destroyed. He didn't want to see them saved. Jonah knew that God was a God who was gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents from doing evil. Jonah knew that. He said, you know what? I knew you were going to do this to these people. I knew that was you. He should be happy. And chapter four, we just want to get, you know, what we want to get out of here is that, as Pastor Rob mentioned this last Sunday, people matter to God. He doesn't care what race you're from, what your background is. People matter to God.
And that's what matters to the Lord. And that is what should matter to us as well. I'm sure you guys listen to the news. I'm sure you guys see what's going on around the world. You know, we are very close for the Lord coming and rapturing his church out of here. But as we wait for the Lord, as we wait for the Lord, our Christian life should not be just sit and wait for him to come. No. We should get in there in the trenches and start winning souls for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? But Pastor Mike, you don't know. I don't know the Bible very well. Do you read it? I can't speak. I'm like Moses. You know what? I always tell people, you share what you do understand about God, and you share what God has done for you. And if they see your life that has been transformed, they're going to accept what you're telling them, and they're going to respect it, and they're going to hold on to it, and they're going to say, you know what? I want to be like this person. Because I know what, you know, there's evidence in this person that there is a God that really exists by the way he has transformed our lives. And he wants us in the trenches. He wants us to stay busy in the things of the Lord. He wants us to stay busy. Pastor Tony Clark said in one of his recent messages about the situation that's going on in the world today. You know, all these terrorist acts and all these things going on around us. You know, he said we need to overlook all this violence and all these protests and all these things and realize that it is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual problem. And as Christians, as believers, we need to see things the way God sees things. People are going to hell because nobody's sharing the gospel with them. Maybe you have family members that you love very much and dearly, but you're not telling them about Jesus, and they're still going to hell. What kind of love is that? You know, I have nieces that grew up in the church, and nephews, and you know, a lot of my family members that I love with my heart. I mean, I love them to death. And they have heard the gospel, and they have seen what God has done in my life. And that's the best testimony I can give them. Because they see and they know that God really exists and that it can change anybody's life. So church, I exhort you today, share the gospel. Don't be timid. If you are a new creation in Christ, let people see that. If there is something in your life that God is telling you, hey, stop running from me and let me change that, I exhort you to let him change you and watch what he can do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. Lord, and just how good you are with us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the awesome work that you're doing here at our church, Lord. I thank you for the people in this church, Lord, that love you and faithfully serve you. All those volunteers, Lord Jesus, that make church happen here. Lord, we thank you for them. And Lord, you might be speaking to some people here today, Lord Jesus. Maybe they're running from you today. Whether it's from a calling that you're calling them to do, or maybe a change of lifestyle. or just plain disobedience on their part. Lord, I pray that you transform my brothers and sisters' lives here today, Lord Jesus. I sense that there are some of you here that are running from God. In one way, shape, or form, if that's you, I want you to stand up, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. And as we raise our hands up, that's an act of faith that we're telling God, Lord, here I am. I'm tired of running from you. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand up. I want to pray for you. Amen. I see you. Amen. I see you in the back. Amen. I see you in the back. Lord, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters here today. I pray that you do an amazing work in their lives. I pray that you just transform their lives, Lord, as they just begin to walk with you, even in a closer relationship with you, Lord. Lord, your desire is to transform people. Your desire is to change people. Your desire is to make us more like Jesus. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that raised their hand. And I want you, Lord, to see, please, please see, as they raise their hands up as an act of faith, reaching out to you and saying, Lord, I'm tired of running from you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to share your word before your people. In Jesus' name we pray.